KALW.
Hey, I just got a report of a fire above Podam on Highway 70.
Fire season is just beginning in Northern California, and there are already a handful of active fires in the region.
We're starting to get some reports of fire in Paradise now.
The largest fire in California history destroyed the town of Paradise in 2018. Kaylin Siegel was pregnant when disaster struck. What helped her get through it? Paper and pen.
And I just wrote down, like, the memory I had of the fire, because I figure this kid's got to know about this, even though he's not born. Like, again, this is an imprint. This is like patchwork to his quilt, right? Like, this is part of his life.
It's Dear Cohen, an original KALW documentary about one family's journey from Paradise. I'm Hanat Baba. This is Cross Currents. As the Bay Area enters the summer wildfire season, red flags are going up in counties throughout the region. It was only 20 months ago that California suffered its deadliest wildfire in recent history. What was known as the Camp Fire destroyed the Northern California town of Paradise. Around that time, Chico resident Kaylin Siegel began writing letters in a journal to her unborn son. A week after penning the first entry, Kaylin's life was turned upside down when the campfire burned down her home. In this new KALW documentary, we'll join Kaylin on her journey through the aftermath of the fire as she prepares to welcome a new member to the family. KALW's Beau Walsh has the story.
November 4th, 2018. Dear Cohen, I found out I was pregnant with you in early July, a few days after July 4th. Your dad and I had wanted a child for a couple of years, but to no avail, until you came along. I thought I was destined to be childless, but you changed all that. We were working on the deck, had been since June. I was enjoying a beer when I decided I should check. Sure enough, you were already in the works.
That's my cousin Kaylin. She's my mom's sister's daughter and was born 6 months before me. I used to spend winter and spring breaks as a kid at her family's old house in San Rafael where Kaylin grew up. Today, she lives up in Butte County with her husband Brett. When this story began, she was 29 weeks pregnant and expecting their first child.
It's definitely getting more real for sure. It's crazy to think that our bodies just, like, you know, our cells mutate and make this thing. And I have two heartbeats in me right now. And the other day, yeah, the hiccups, that was a trip. And it was, like, right here, you could feel them. Like.
Kaylin wanted to go with an Irish name for her soon-to-be son, but opted for something much more Jewish instead.
When we were in Ireland, I was reading a newspaper and one of their, I know, statesmen or something was named Cowan. And I liked it. And at first I looked at it and I read it as Cohen. And I didn't realize until later it was Cowan. But I'm like, well, I don't want to call him Cowan because the kids at school are going to call him Cow. And so, so I was like, well, you know, and then I'm like, well, I like Cohen.
Cohen. C-O-H-E. N.
I was like, oh yeah, I should probably look up like the meaning of Cohen, right?
A member of the priestly caste, having certain rights and duties in the synagogue.
Thank goodness we're not having a girl. I don't know what we would have named a girl.
Gloria.
Oh yeah, Brett wanted Gloria. He wanted us to be able to sing her name.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the best rock songs for girls. Gloria.
With a baby on the way, everything was finally coming together. They already had their dream house.
Kaylin was in bed and she showed me this picture of this house, like, wow, look at this property.
The house was located right by the city limits in Brett's hometown of Chico.
We met with the realtor Sunday and looked at the house. By Tuesday, we were in escrow and had the house.
And when we went to
see the house,
we literally walked in. We walked straight upstairs, the spiral staircase, and walked through the second bedroom where there's a sliding glass door and the big deck.
And the deck.
Walked straight onto the deck.
Took one look,
and Brett's like, I want it. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe we can look at the house before we actually agree to this.
And at $245,000 for a 5-acre, 2-bedroom house, 1,300 square feet, you can't find that good deal. I couldn't even believe it.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years, we would sit up at night going, I can't believe we have this house.
Yeah. All right, so here's what we're gonna do next. People, we are transitioning to our next activity. All right, show me you're listening.
Kaylin taught high school English at Achieve Charter School, located in the nearby town of Paradise. Her first encounters with the town came during her college years at Chico State, when she would hike in the mountains along the historic flumes once used to transport logs.
Paradise was like an old mining town that's just been forgotten. Like, there's this town that's been living there, and they probably have the same cultures, the same traditions for years. And everybody knows each other, and it's no joke. Like, our staff was pretty much all from Paradise. I have here till 11:05. I think I was the second person on staff who didn't live in Paradise. They actually joke that because I was from the Bay Area, they thought I even talked differently. I think there's like 3 or 4 more chapters left. I want your group to talk about what do you predict will happen with a character and come up with just one prediction of what will happen.
Dear Cohen, there are a lot of lessons I could teach you about life, or shall I say, truths that I believe in. I'm not sure in your life what you will choose to believe. That is for you to decide. But I do believe a few things. Perhaps not in a God or such, but I believe life is good. You get what you give. You can choose your destiny, and your life will stand in front of you and make you face your fears. It's the nature of the beast. On November 8th, your dad and I faced our beast.
Hey, I just got a report of a fire above Podam on Highway 70.
We're in Concow. There looks like a fire coming over the hill. I want to know where the fire is.
Ma'am, there's engines en route. I don't know exactly where it's at right now.
Fires are normal up there, and so you just assume the best and that it's far away, and you'll check the percentage of containment and hope that it's high, and you know, you just kind of go on. And when I got to school, I remember Kelly, my coworker, who's lived in Paradise her entire life, she said specifically, she said, I've never seen it like this. And I, when she said that, I knew, like, this is different.
We're starting to get some reports of fire in Paradise now.
The principal came in and she said, okay, we're canceling school. The kids are gonna go home. But at that point still, like, I hadn't heard how serious it was.
There's gonna be a large scale evacuation order.
The fire's moving faster than we can keep up, but we're recommending people that are threatened get out.
And the police rolled in and they basically said, you have to get out of here right now. And that's when we really didn't know it, but parts of Clark, which is the street that our school's on, were on fire.
The town of Paradise is under a mandatory evacuation. It's not looking good for getting people out.
It was starting to get a little bit, you know, more gridlock with traffic, but I was able to move. And when you're driving down Clark, there's a canyon to the left, and that was all on fire.
Fire on both sides of the road on Pearson. Yeah, we got information that people are abandoning vehicles on Skyway. We're going to start to push them out of the way.
I just remember, like, looking over, and there's this little, like, 4-door sedan, older lady driving it, and her parakeet's in the back seat of the car. And then looking in front of me, it's this big truck, and their truck is filled with stuff with a tarp over it. And then as the lane of traffic started moving, I'm just kind of, like, looking at into other cars. And it's full families and dogs, and you could just tell everyone just packed up and left.
Oh By day, we get a glimpse of the canyon and rugged terrain that helped funnel the campfire toward Chico. At times, day turned to night.
Julie, our neighbor, had drove in. This must have been about midnight.
Residents who couldn't escape the fire soon enough said that flames were coming down this canyon from every direction.
So happened that there were media there as well. And so she was stopped by the media crew from KCRA.
On a ridge in the Santos Ranch community, we found Julie Welty, glad to be alive and with a home.
My house is spared. I can't even believe it. And I've been through three fires.
Her neighbors and friends were not so lucky.
They interviewed her, and what's a trip is that we found all of this out about Julie getting interviewed from my mom, who lives in Sacramento.
All of a sudden, when this news report came on, and they were saying that they were off of Highway 32 on Wilder Road, and that's Kaylin and Brett Street.
And she said, well, I think she was talking about you guys.
This is my girlfriend's house, and she was getting ready to have a baby. So I told her I would come by if I could get through, because there's power lines down.
She didn't use names specifically.
It's just devastating. These are such great people. It just happened so fast.
I had a feeling that it was, she was speaking about Kaylin and Brett.
By 9 o'clock on the night of November 8th, the campfire had reached the Santo Ranch neighborhood. Out of the 24 homes in the community, Kaylin and Brett's house was one of 12 that burned.
10,000 plus buildings just reduced to rubble like this one, just absolutely gutted. And many of those buildings were people's homes. And that is what many people are waking up to this morning.
Once I knew that it was burned, it wasn't a sign of relief by any means, but at least I didn't have to worry anymore. Like, okay, check that box, now moving forward. And as the days came on, you know, more and more texts, you get more and more texts from coworkers. Oh, my house is gone now.
The weeks following the campfire saw unhealthy and hazardous air quality spread throughout the region. For Kaylin, it couldn't have come during a worse time in her pregnancy.
All of this smoke. It's not like sitting in front of your fireplace. Keep in mind, we're burning so much material right now that is not wood.
The days after were horrible. I mean, I would walk out and you could feel it in your lungs. And I didn't want to subject the baby to anything that could, you know, potentially harm him. And during this time, the baby's lung development was at its peak. So I don't know. I had asthma when I was a kid. Is the kid going to have asthma? Is the kid going to have lung issues? Like, you know, you just kind of have to kind of hope for the best.
Where are you going to, sir?
Chico.
Chico, number 3 right here.
Thank you.
A month after the fire, I visited Kaylin and Brett in Chico and saw what remains of the place they used to call home.
Here's our house. Do you like what we've done with the place?
Wow.
That's the stairwell.
Just mangled. Oh, man.
Reminds me of a ship, like a sunken ship.
Yeah. This is where the front door was.
A sad moment for me was thinking, like, when we bought this house, thinking just that Cohen is going to have a different view of this house than we did. It's like we're never gonna have the money to really fully rebuild like it was, but it's just gonna be different, you know? Just be careful of some nails or something.
Walking through the wreckage, I saw the burnt remnants of items that they weren't able to pack up during the evacuation.
Look at your poor little tire.
Well, yeah, the wheelbarrow made it, but the tire melted.
That was his grandpa's wheelbarrow. Oh, well.
Back in November, Kaylin had made sure to grab one particular item.
I grabbed Cohen's ultrasound photos. That to me was really cool, but it is just stuff. It's just stuff.
Just imagine having 19,000 people move into your town after disaster hits theirs. It's been the reality in Chico for months
now. With campfire evacuees and a scramble to find housing, Kaylin and Brett needed to find a semi-permanent place to live.
We always had a plan. Whenever there's a fire, you go to Robin and Dave's, Brett's parents' house, who live in Chico. And so we went straight there. But then we started trying to look for housing, and that was a joke, and that wasn't happening.
Supply is tight, and prices are spiking. Many campfire survivors are having a difficult time finding a new place to buy or rent.
I felt like a vision I had during this whole process were hermit crabs. Have you ever seen hermit crabs running around a rock, trying to find their home, trying to find, you know, underneath a rock or a crack? That was literally our community, and that's how it felt. Like, you live literally hour by hour, and now I think we're just getting, we were in days by days, and thinking of the future is kind of a different idea right now.
December 7th, 2018. Tomorrow we look at a possible new home, a trailer. From the pictures your dad showed me, it looks nice, it looks spacious. It's just sobering to realize that I'll be raising you in a trailer for the first couple of years of your life. This, of course, is not how I foresaw this whole thing going down, but I know your dad and I will make the best of it. Wish us luck tomorrow. I hope this trailer is a winner and not a total bust. I don't think I could handle a total bust again. Love, Mom.
As winter turned into spring, Kaylin and Brett were now living in a 30-foot trailer parked on a friend's property in the town of Durham, located 7 miles south of Chico. I went back up to visit the week before Kaylin was due to give birth.
Yeah, check it out. This is our new home.
Wow. Can you give me a tour?
Yes, this is the master bedroom. A very spacious cabinets, and then this is the very classy TV room / baby room. The first week I cried pretty much every day. It's good to see it now, but I hated this thing. Like, we bought it and we just threw away $17,000 of our money, right? Like, I don't want to live here. But now I've seen it and it's kind of cleaned up a little bit. And I think once Brett and I decided, like, we'll paint it, we'll make it a home, I think it'll be much better. And this, like, pulls out. You can cook some bacon. Hi, Wolf. I'm hoping that we can be out of here by the time, I don't know, he's 2, would be lovely. Right, I would love for him not to have a memory of living in here, but even if he does, so what, right?
There's in the fridge, outdoor fridge.
Oh yeah, the outdoor fridge. Got some beers left over from the previous people. Nothing but class over here, people. Home sweet home.
Once in town, even more workers and other crews are still clearing debris from lots, removing trees, and miles of utility lines and poles have been replaced.
5 months had passed since the campfire destroyed the town of Paradise. Driving through the area, a graveyard of abandoned charred cars sit along the side of the road, in front of burnt dead trees that struggle to stand. Still, this was progress.
It looks so devastating, but you can already even see, like, how much of the work has gotten done already, you know, just of cutting down the trees and stacking them. I mean, a lot of them are down. They've done a lot. It's hard to imagine when you still see how much there needs to be done, but the idea of rebuilding is getting to become like a real idea. At first it's like, yeah, oh, we'll rebuild, but we didn't really know if you could. And now it's looking like we will be able to, and I think we'll have a nice home eventually. You know, like driving through Paradise today, you kind of see that, like, even if you wanted to rebuild, would you, is it even really possible?
We made a stop at what used to be Achieve Charter High School, where Kaylin taught.
I know.
The door's closed.
I know. I bet we could get out, though, and look at it. I wouldn't go in it.
This was her first time being back since the day of the fire 5 months earlier.
This was our front entrance. And then this sign on the door, I don't know what all the numbers mean, but the bottom zero means that there were zero lives found here, which is good. We got all the kids out. Watch your step. This was the gym. All the chairs are still lined up for our morning assembly where the kids would gather and, you know, talk about our day. Coming back and seeing all this destruction, and it's like you can't help but think, like, oh my gosh, what if? You know, what if we couldn't get the kids out or something? Like, you're funny. Welcome. It's good to see you. I'm so excited. I am. I grew a lot. I'm feeling definitely pregnant. Let's see. Let's take attendance real quick and see how we're doing.
After the campfire, Achieve and many of the other schools in the area began operating out of local churches throughout Butte County.
Today is just all about, like, getting back into the swing of school, right? It's been a while, so. After the fire, like, we never, with students, we talked about it, but we never made it an excuse. The fire wasn't a scapegoat for not progressing, for not succeeding. Like, those kids, we said, if anything, you're going to get a killer college essay out of it. Just remember that all of us are acclimating. Like, yesterday, honestly, was the first day, like, I actually opened a book, and I'm like, Animal Farm. Because I'm like, where are we even at? Like, what is it about? There's hope that I think it will actually make them a lot stronger, and I've seen that already, but time will tell. If I were to take maternity leave, I'm glad it's this year that I'm taking maternity leave. Like, there's just, it's hard to see kind of your people hurt, you know?
At full term and almost 40 weeks pregnant, Kaylin's due literally any day. I joined her and Brett for one final birth class with Kaylin's midwife, Katara.
Look at that belly.
I know, it's crazy.
My name is Katara Shaw. I'm a California licensed midwife and I attend home births in California.
39 and a half. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what you are today.
Definitely feels really important to be serving people that have lost their homes in the campfire, and feels really important to be working with Kaylin and Brett in this way, too.
I grabbed his foot right here on my side, my left side, and he moved it away really quickly. It's been kind of fun to play around. Like, I've been playing with him, you know, in a sense, and so I'm just kind of ready to meet him.
Cohen Keen Siegel was born on Thursday, March 7th, 2019, at 12:07 p.m., weighing in at 7 pounds, 7 ounces, and healthy as can be.
First, Katara said, Kaylin, do you want to grab him and bring him up to you? I just felt he was going to be so slippery, I was going to drop him, and I didn't want to. I said, no. She said, are you sure? I said, okay, I'll do it. And just bringing this, like, this body up to you, this human, this thing that's living and crying, and it's so insane because it's like you just did it together. It's such a bonding experience. I remember a really crazy moment was the next day or the next morning. I woke up and I was still, you know, waking up and my eyes were closed. And I remember hearing this crying that was next to me and thinking, having the initial thought, like, there's a baby crying. Oh my gosh, that's my baby crying. Like, I have to get up now, you know, like, it's that click of a parent, like, oh, I gotta do this. June 20th, 2019. Dear Cohen, it's hard to believe that we have already shared 3 months together. It seems like you have always been with us. I remember when you were first born, but now look at us.
As the days come, and so our little threesome is learning how to be a family, operating as one. As far as our home, we are building you a palace. Your dad and I have been meeting with engineers, drafters, interior designers, and contractors. The property doesn't look like much now, but the view is spectacular. And I know before we know it, it's going to be beautiful. Every single day, I dream of the day that we get to take you to the hill to move back to where we call home someday.
And if the looking glass is broke,
it was sitting on this. I'm like, you know, I'm going to have a journal. I'm going to write to Cohen. And so 4 days before the fire, I wrote to him. And I don't know. I mean, I have this vision of that, like, when he turns 18 or something, I'll give it to him. And so I started writing in there, and I just wrote down, like, the memory I had of the fire, because I figure this kid's got to know about this, even though he's not born. Like, again, this is an imprint. This is like patchwork to his quilt, right? Like, this is part of his life, because ultimately it's going to shape Brett and I, and it's going to shape this community. And if he didn't know about this, he's not going to understand why certain things are the way they are.
You'll still be the sweetest baby in town.
Happy to report that the home that the Siegels lost in the campfire is currently under construction and is expected to be rebuilt by the end of 2020. That story was reported and produced by Beau Walsh. You can hear more KALW original documentaries from our news team at KALW.org. Today's Cross Currents team includes Christopher Agusa, Imran Ali Malik, Marissa Ortega Welch, and Babette Thomas. Our engineers are Tariq Foda and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shireen Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.